Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeart Podcasts, and how the tech are ya? It's time for us to talk about the tech news for the week ending on Friday, April the 5th, 2024. Had to think about that for a minute. But starting off, Microsoft released a warning that says we should all expect China to try and disrupt elections in several countries, including the United States, which I guess is news. Though at this point, I think a lot of folks just assumed that was going to be on China's to-do list anyway. Microsoft also warned that North Korea could be involved in this sort of effort as well, although from what I gather, the two countries would largely be working independently toward a similar goal. Microsoft stated that China would at the very least lean heavily on AI-generated content that's intended to shape public opinion to favor political outcomes that would align with China's own goals. In fact, the country's already been doing this. And Microsoft said that right now, such content hasn't proven to be really that effective in moving the needle of public opinion, but it is important to pay attention to it because with every failure comes the chance to learn from mistakes and to get better. So it could just be a matter of time before AI-generated propaganda really does help push public opinion in a specific direction. Microsoft says that various social accounts linked to China have been posting AI-generated content with a call to action. So essentially, the posts push conspiratorial language and then follow that up with, "What do you think?" And that call to engagement could both serve to elevate the visibility of the post, as well as just, you know, actually ask for feedback to judge how well their propaganda is working. Oh, brave new world. Here in the United States, the concept of net neutrality has had a pretty rocky go of it. The idea is a little bit complex, but one way to look at it is that all parties involved in facilitating information moving across the internet would allow that data to travel freely without interference, without regard of where it came from, where it's going to, or what kind of device is accessing it. So in a world with net neutrality, you would not allow an internet carrier to throttle some types of data while allowing others to go on a fast track. You wouldn't leverage your position to favor certain partners or even your own services and content over that of your competitors. So everyone would have a level playing field. The United States Federal Communications Commission attempted to codify net neutrality during the Obama administration, and in fact, did so briefly, but those decisions were overturned by the FCC of the Trump administration. Now, during the Biden administration, the FCC plans to vote to restore those net neutrality rules, or at least some of them. That vote will officially happen on April 25th, and Tech Dirt points out that the new rules are going to have some exceptions and loopholes in them, thanks to a lot of lobbying, and links to a post by Barbara Van Schuyck, a law professor at Stanford, that explains in greater detail the differences of the new set of rules compared to the previous attempt to really codify net neutrality. So I might do a full episode about this because it is a topic that's fairly complicated. In Google News, the company has said that it will destroy data records that number in the billions with a B. And you might wonder, well, what do these records involve? And it's the kind of sort of information about what people were doing when they were browsing the internet while in incognito mode. You know, that mode that at least implies that your activities on your browser are, you know, protected and private. So Google is doing this as part of a settlement that still must be approved. And it's for this big old lawsuit. And the lawsuit accused Google of implying that incognito mode would give Chrome users privacy as they skulked around on the web doing whatever it was they were doing. But all the while, Google was actually tracking data and being able to identify the user, meaning that incognito is not that incognito. You know, you can't go incognito if everybody recognizes you. This is the big complaint I have about James Bond films, because he's a spy, but he goes around introducing himself as James Bond. But I suppose that doesn't really fit in a tech podcast. Anyway, it's really a good reminder that the stuff you do on the internet isn't necessarily as private as you thought it was, and that's just something to keep in mind. Not to prevent you from using the internet, but being aware of it is a good thing. Amazon has booted its cashierless grocery store strategy at least a little bit. They have opted to go with a different approach for their larger supermarkets. So the company introduced this technology a few years ago, and the idea, in case you're not familiar with it, is that you would go into an Amazon store, like an Amazon Go store or an Amazon Fresh grocery store. Then you would do your normal shopping, and you would fill up your shopping cart, and then you could just leave the store, and Amazon would automatically bill you for the stuff that was in your cart. But the company says that customers didn't really gel with this technology, particularly for like grocery store big shopping days, because that involved not just, you know, like prepackaged foods, that's one thing, but also stuff like produce, where typically you would need to weigh the produce in order to get a price on what it was you were buying. And the company says that the technology might be a better fit for smaller stores rather than a full supermarket. CNN states that Amazon is looking at some alternatives for the larger Amazon Fresh stores in the United States, such as using the Dash Cart. So this is a shopping cart that customers can use to scan items that they are purchasing. So they can purchase the items by scanning them and putting them in their shopping cart. And they can also interact with other elements of their account, like they can have their shopping list active with their cart, so that a card is guiding them to the items that are on their list. They can have alerts as to sales that are going on, that kind of thing. On a related note, The Information published an article that says the automated technology wasn't as automated as Amazon implied. So according to the piece, around 1,000 workers in India reviewed up to 70% of the purchases made through the Just Walk Out technology, that's what it was called, and this was back in 2022. So when 70% of your transactions are actually going under human review to make sure that, you know, you're getting charged for the right stuff, then it's not really Just Walk Out, like at least not on Amazon's side. Now, Amazon has disputed this. They said that, no, that 70% is not reflective of reality, that it was a much lower percentage of transactions that required human review. And in fact, the staff was really there to help train the AI to get better. So it's like, you know, guided training, according to Amazon. That's a pretty big discrepancy between 70% of all transactions and just a few. I don't know where the truth is, but it is true that that technology is no longer going to be used in the Fresh stores in the United States. It will still be used in some of the smaller stores. It has also kind of coincided with some other companies saying that maybe going the cashierless way isn't the best approach because people make mistakes or some people are just plain dishonest. and that there's been a lot of loss associated, perhaps more loss than what you would see if you, I don't know, hired people to do the job. So just a fun little thing about how technology doesn't always replace people at a level that makes sense. A couple of companies had a really rough day this week on April 3rd on Wednesday. Maybe it was a delayed April Fool's prank or something. But Meta's WhatsApp service was unavailable for many users this past Wednesday. But by many, we have to really contextualize that. We're talking about in the tens of thousands. Now, granted, that's a lot of people. Tens of thousands of people is a lot. But WhatsApp boasts around 2 billion users. So in the grand scheme of things, it was hardly even a blip. Now, Meta resolved the issue, and I have no clue what it was that went wrong. The company didn't really say. And meanwhile, Apple services on that same day, April 3rd, including its streaming platforms, so like Apple TV and Apple Music, its podcast app was affected. The App Store itself was affected by another outage. Now, this issue lasted a bit more than an hour for users in countries like the United States, the United Kingdom, India, and China. And whatever the cause of that issue, Apple was able to restore services just a little bit later. So again, maybe just a delayed prank. Maybe it was gremlins. Maybe it was just two similar events that just happened to happen at the same time by coincidence. It's probably that last one. Okay, I got a few more news stories for y'all, but before we get to that, let's take a quick break. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Ford, here in the United States, is the most recent automaker to announce that it is shifting its strategy toward electric vehicles. It is pushing back when it's going to produce all electric models of cars. The plan was that 2025 was going to be the big year where Ford was going to bring out all these all electric vehicles, you know, like cars, trucks, and SUVs. And instead, they're going to focus on hybrids, at least in the short term, and push back the electric vehicle approach for a few more years. And several other car manufacturers have made similar decisions in the not too distant past. And it's kind of created this slowdown in the conversion to electric vehicles. Now, the companies have cited a general slow adoption rate among consumers for EVs. So they're saying consumers don't want electric vehicles, or at least not enough of them. there's just been a very slow uptake on electric vehicles. I think that part of that is probably price. I think a big part of that might be recent economic issues that have played a huge part in the decision-making process of buying a new car. You know, we were dealing with really high inflation rates. That made stuff like loans and financing kind of scary. Like when you're paying more in your interest than you are for the vehicle, that's an issue, right? And then there was also inflation, and that ended up creating a real sticker shock situation too. You'd go in and the car at the beginning would just be priced at a really high level. And, you know, that's hard to deal with. So I am not fully convinced that the general public is just reluctant to adopt EVs. I think it's more likely a more complicated situation that a lot of the public can't afford a new car in general, but specifically an EV, which still they tend to be pretty expensive. However, I'm no expert. I cannot pretend to say like I have the insight here and it's 100% accurate. This is just sort of my perception, and it could very well be that I'm totally off base. And surely these car manufacturers have very intelligent people working on these things. So I don't know. Maybe it is that the public in general is still a little wary about EVs. I can understand why. I mean, there's this perception that, you know, you're going to have a limited range as far as you can drive and that kind of thing. I don't think that this means that the entire plan to shift toward electric vehicles has taken a totally wrong turn. This just might be one of those cases where, you know, you're on a car trip and your dad says he knows a shortcut. And then next thing you know, you're 4 hours late to grandma's house because the shortcut wasn't that effective. Maybe that's what's happening here, metaphorically. In what was a really expected announcement, this didn't come as a surprise, Disney CEO Bob Iger, who, by the way, recently posted a victory against a proxy battle among activist shareholders, he said that the company is going to start to crack down on password sharing among Disney Plus customers starting this June. The rules have already been in place. It's not like they're putting in new rules. They're just really kind of being more proactive about it later this summer. And of course, we've seen lots of other streaming services approach the same challenge, right? Because it turns out that creating a profitable streaming service that can sustain efforts to produce original content is tricky, right? You've just got subscribers coming in. You could base your performance on growth, but eventually you're going to max out that growth. You're going to plateau. So how do you make enough money where you can continue to create the content that people want and still make a profit? So Netflix famously pushed back against password sharing not too long ago and saw some positive results, in fact, despite the fact that a lot of people complained about the whole practice. Iger says that one part of the plan is to create a paid sharing option. So essentially, customers who want to share a password with another household will get a little alert popping up, and there will be a subscription tier priced exactly for that kind of thing. So it costs more than just your typical subscription for that level, because it'll be a shared level. Otherwise, Disney expects you to keep your own password in your own grubby little hands and let other households go and get their own passwords. So technically, Disney, like I said, has had these rules in place for a while now, but in June, you know, people that Disney suspects are actually using a shared password will get a little pop-up message suggesting that, you know, they sign up for their own subscription, or maybe Mickey Mouse will come on over to their house and bust their kneecaps. Not literally, I'm paraphrasing. Disney did not actually say that. That's me taking some poetic license. The French Alternative Energies and Atomic Energy Commission has produced the Izult MRI machine, or Izult. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't speak French. This MRI machine is a real whopper. So your typical hospital MRI machine, the magnetic resonance imaging, it's able to create a magnetic field that has a strength of between 1.5 to 3 Teslas. In this case, we're not talking about the electric vehicle. We're talking about a unit of measurement. But the one that I'm talking about here, the new one, which has been in practice for a while, but has just recently been used on human subjects, this sucker bumps up the power of that magnetic field to 11.7 Teslas. So significantly more powerful than what you're going to find in your typical hospital. And this isn't just like a home improvement moment of more power. The benefit of such a machine is that it can produce images with a much higher resolution in a fraction of the time it would take your standard machine. Like, you might have to lie motionless in a device for 2 hours to get the same sort of image that this thing can produce in just 4 minutes. And since you have to stay perfectly still during an MRI scan, 4 minutes is a much less taxing request than 2 hours. Now, from what I understand, the new MRI machine also has a larger opening that the patient's head would go into. That means it should be a less daunting experience for those who have, you know, kind of claustrophobic issues. To operate the machines, engineers actually have to use liquid helium to cool some of the components down so that they reach superconductor status. And when you're talking about a machine that's as large and complicated and challenging to operate as this is, it means it's not really likely to replace the MRI machines that are currently around the world. But this could be really handy for researchers, you know, scientists and doctors who want to use it when they want to look into different brain conditions and diseases in order to learn more about how they advance and hopefully help inspire new treatments and cures, which is super cool. Finally, I've got a couple of article recommendations for y'all this week. One is a piece in the New York Times by Kevin Roos titled, "Did One Guy Just Stop a Huge Cyber Attack?" It tells the story of a German-born programmer named Andres Freund, who spotted a backdoor in some software and through his actions was able to address it before nefarious hackers could make use of that access to wreak havoc. So it's a good piece to read. I also recommend a piece in Fortune by Sage Lazzaro titled, "Musicians Are Up in Arms About Generative AI and Stability AI's New Music Generators Show Why They Are Right to Be." Both of these stories touch on things that are ongoing conversations in tech. You know, cybersecurity is always part of the conversation. And then this concept of how AI could threaten various occupations, you know, and art, that sort of thing, how its impact on art could be really negative. I'm sure we're going to have lots more conversations about that because not a day goes by that I don't see another article about how AI is going to impact the job market. And it's concerning in a lot of ways. I think a lot of companies could potentially make bad decisions with AI and then learn the hard way that those bad decisions were bad. And they can then get back on track, but it would be really nice if we could just like avoid the pitfall stage and just kind of sidestep around the issue. But I don't know how realistic that is. However, I hope all of you out there listening are well, and I will talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.